I can listen to the program and its speakers, Mike McLaughlin from Monarch Marketecture. And it's quite interesting reading Mike's notes because he came here in the 70s from Canada. Describes himself as being on his OE, and he still is. And Mike is going to talk about the rise and rise of mobile and unified communications. Something that I think we all benefit from on a daily basis now. Mike? Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, folks, for allowing me a little bit of time. A little bit daunted here today. Everything has been about heavy-duty architectural engineering network stuff. This is about the applications that run on the networks. Maestro, I just want to show you where this all started. I've got a short clip.
East of Whitecliff Avenue, eh? All right. Move out of the safe distance. Control Central. I'm switching to my car. Hello? Hello? Hello, Control Central, what's the matter? Oh, my car is busy. Well, put me on my handkerchief, extension 4. Never mind the handkerchief, Central.
Place was the American soap running at the same time called Peyton Place. So that's kind of where it all started. Talk a little bit about, this is the Rise and Rise of Mobile and Unified Communications. So we need to cover a little bit of history in terms of PCs. And then we'll talk about a little bit of history in terms of mobiles. Back in 81, IBM announced the IBM PC, the 5150. It came with a whopping 16 Ks of memory. It was expandable to 256 Ks. 16 Ks is about two short emails worth. They expected to sell in the first 5 years. They sold that many in the first month. Now they didn't really invent anything. Most of the stuff was invented in terms of a GUI interface, a mouse, networks, menus, was all done by Xerox at their Palo Alto Research Center. And I actually worked for Xerox in the late 70s and remember this stuff. But IBM came out with the PC in 81. Xerox came out with the Xerox Star in 81, IBM with their marketing muscle beat the hell out of them. The operating system was DOS 1.0 something, even a geek by the name of Gates hadn't heard of yet. And they took on the world and dominated it. 82, Time magazine named the PC the man of the year. 1985, Microsoft released Windows 1.0, and the rest is kind of history. At the same time that the PC revolution was going on, the next big thing in another part of the world was cellular. 1956, Ericsson released the MTA, Mobile Telephone System A. Here's one of the first phones. It was mobile, but it weighed 40 kilos. So it was a bit of a problem transporting it. They came out later with MTB, Mobile Telephone System 2, and the phone only weighed 24 kilos. So you had a better chance of packing it around with you. It was in fact 0G, which meant it worked from cell towers, but they weren't seamless. You couldn't travel between them. There is the first commercially available analog system was launched in 1983 in Chicago. It was AMPS, the first one that Telecom had here. That is one of the first car phones. Note the rotary dial. Isn't she sweet? Now, just to get some context here, when I was doing some research for this thing today, the best I could find was numbers for the end of 2006. Trying to get a whole lot of categories. Now, at the end of 2006, there were roughly 800 million registered automobiles. It took 100 years to get there. Henry Ford had one color called black. Now you can get them almost any way you want. There were about 1.3 billion fixed telephone lines in the world. And it was worthy of note way back when, if you read about the patent application from Bell, there was never any mention about idle chatter between neighbors or friends. It was all about business. About 1.5 billion television sets. 1.4 billion people carrying credit cards, one or more. 85 million PDAs and iPods, about 85 million each. Another number we've seen today quite a few times in context is mobiles. At the end of 2006, there were 2.7. I've got a whole list of numbers down here. People keep quoting new ones all day today. Russell said there'd be 4.4 billion by the end of 2011. Now, Reuters had a report in November last year that was 3.3 billion. Now, if that's correct, that's 200 million have been added, because Russell said 3.5 now. That's 200 million have been added in the last 6 months. Now, I know these are all people's guesses, but it puts it back into some perspective. The other thing was interesting in the Reuters report that more than 60% of those people who have a cell phone has sent a text message. So, you've heard of pots and pans. Planal telephony system has become pretty awesome new stuff. And it's anywhere, anytime, and I've heard that term, and we hear it from vendors all the time in the consultancy world. You know, we can do this stuff anywhere, anytime. But what happens if you take the functions that are on your PC and put them on the mobile phone? You get unified communications, which is everywhere, every time. National Engineering Consortium has defined UC as a single content independent personal messaging channel down which an individual can receive almost any form of communication from man or machine. That's that precedes, so what's it really mean? Well, I'm not going to run through all that because you people can read. But in short, you see as multimodal communications. It's a choice of interfaces, either voice or visual, to control all of those kinds of activities, real-time and non-real-time, all from a single user interface. It's device-independent. Now, another interesting part of this pretty awesome new stuff is its push, not pull technology. I'm old enough to remember that you logged on to get emails. And you pull them all down and then you log off again. Now, they're in your face. Everywhere, every time. It's really easy to go get out of the office and go work anywhere. But it's incredibly difficult to get away from the office. This stuff is all fairly affordable. We just heard Rosemary talking about costs, and I say fairly or relatively affordable because it's not cheap. If I alone combine the cost of my mobile, my landline, my broadband connection and my data card, it's about $800 a month. Thanks to PANS, and without unified communications, because we don't have it in our office. Like Max, I get incoming calls on my landline, incoming calls on my mobile, incoming voicemails, with incoming alerts, and I have two mailboxes. Incoming SMS messages. And a bit like Max, there's five ways to go on hold. It's really very intrusive. If you're one of those lucky people that's got a BlackBerry, hands up anybody, BlackBerry's PDAs, get stuff pushed them off. I got a story for you in a minute. But you're getting all of those other communications as well. Texts on my phone, but emails and instant messages. Research today, I couldn't find out whether or not the amount of real-time communication, like voice, for any individual is going up or down. I couldn't find that research. So let's assume that the volume of real-time communications is fairly stable. What we have with these other near real-time communications, email, text, and instant messaging, and the tsunami is in fact email, as we all know. In 2000, according to the Radicati Group, who are based in Palo Alto, 196 billion emails per day. And it's about double 4 years from now. So if you guys with PDAs think you're plagued now, you just wait. In terms of wireless email, it's going to go from 6 billion US to 25. Huge jump. So the question is it improved communications, or are we actually overloading and suffocating everybody with these communications? If you think about it, you're watching your Outlook screen, and every now and then, that little thing comes up in the corner to say you have a message. How many have the willpower to not go have a look? Not very many. In a study done at Glasgow University, 2007, they found that the average number of interruptions was 30 to 40 an hour. 34% of people felt stressed by the number of obligations, and they felt it was a near real-time activity. When they got an email, they had to respond. 28% of the people, whole job was driven by reacting to the emails they got. That's all they did. Is a better study, King's College London. They had 4,000 people, and they had it, took 1/3 as a control group, no interruptions, and they measured their IQ. The next group had the 30 to 40 interruptions an hour, and their IQ went down 10 points. The third group didn't get any interruptions, but he got them stoned on marijuana. And their IQ only went down 6 points. So folks, there's a moral in this. If you want to get productivity increases, cut out the interruptions and, you know, the rest. Remember back in the 70s, some of you old guys with gray hair like me, but back in the 70s when I was in Canada and the US, civic leaders were all having discussions about all that free leisure time we were going to have when we had a 4-day work weekend and a 3-day work week. In the town I grew up in, they built 2 leisure centers just because they were going to have to accommodate all that free time. You guys with the PDAs, how many took your PDA on holiday or to the beach over the summer or camping? And how many put it near your bed head at night? Just so you don't miss anything. We've got one honest person back here. 2. Alright, let me show you something else. This was a study done by America Online and Opinion Research, another 4,000 people. 6 in 10 said they used their email gadgets in bed. 4 in 10 take it to bed and check it when there's incoming in the middle of the night. And the same number respond in the middle of the night. 37% said they email while driving. Get the next one. 12% while you're in church or a synagogue, and 83% while you're on holiday. Folks, get a life. The guy in the back, get a life. If you email, if you Google email addiction, you get about 1.5 million hits. Now, I've heard people argue that I can be way more responsive and inclusive and talk to my customers and all that sort of stuff, and you're making really quick decisions. But are they good ones? Or the right ones? You're doing everything on the fly. I'm old enough to remember, I'm early 50s, I'm old enough to remember that I used to get a snail mail letter from North America. It took 7 to 10 days to get here. You sat on it for a couple of days. You wrote a response. You crafted a response. You sat on that overnight, read it the next day, and you posted it back. Now the time from the inquiry to the answer was roughly 3 weeks, and you know what? It worked. The world didn't die. Everything does not have to be done immediately. So if I say I yearn for the bad old days of, one phone line and one voicemail, and leave me alone, please, I get to turn it off at night, you'd think I was just being an old, nostalgic grayhair. There's a joke about the guy who went home and said to his wife one night, "Darling, the network was down. We had to think for ourselves today." Think about the problems you would have if the network did go down. Your road warriors would be an absolute loss. Addiction. Blackberry addiction. There's a case going on right now. It's in the District Court of Chicago on Crackberry. A guy is suing his employer because he's become addicted to it, and the employer is responsible. I had a publication called IT Brief. We wrote an article here under the New Zealand rules. Even if they were addicted, the employer is not responsible. Wait, see the way this happens. In the U.S., one-third of BlackBerry users are considered to be addictive. They have shown the same symptoms of antisocial behavior, withdrawal, and denial than an alcoholic does. It's also estimated that 6% of email users worldwide are addicted to email. A couple of studies I have seen, but I haven't included in here. One very sad last year in the U.S. said people would rather give up their family than their email. More people would rather give up their family than their email. When these comms devices were first developed, everyone talks about increased productivity, but I can't actually see that this is particularly happening. The productivity stuff made sense, but what's happening is the world has mobilized the people, but they haven't mobilized the enterprises. How many remember when fax machines first came out? Do you remember how you used to send a fax? You put the date, the inside address, and the cellulation, dear John, just like you did on a snail mail letter, because we didn't know anything else. Why you would put P.O. Box 1234 Shortland Street, Auckland on a fax is beyond me, but people did it for years. And now we have to. Well, it's the same with mobile phones. We have this telephony, we have this messaging which you now carry in your pocket, and it's driving people crazy. When IP first came out, it was interesting. It was very difficult to make a business case just on IP alone. But now that all of these applications have come along, the business case is pretty good. And still you start seeing some of the negative stuff that goes with it. The service providers and the vendors promote mobile communications like it's a good thing. And it probably is, if it's managed properly. The problem isn't the technology. The problem is the people who are either carrying the technology or the managers of those people who are being expected to carry the technology. It is a worse force workforce gets even more mobile. It's about to double, according to everyone here today. It's only gonna get worse. There are no use policies that I know of amongst the client base in which we work associated with mobile and unified communications. Part of the problem is that the workflows and the work practices are still those of the stationary world. They haven't been adapted. European research shows that when applications are rolled out with mobile users on the end, then more than 25%, usually 25 to 30-ish, need a retrofit after because nobody has thought about that workflow or that process on a mobile worker. So they've had to fix it later. We just don't think like that. It's important that we do, and it's important that we manage. Now, a key factor in all of this unified communications is presence. Presence is like the old buddy lists when you used to get on Instant Messenger or something. It was binary. You were online, offline, either there or not there. But one of the pros with presence is that's just it. It's either on or off. And with presence, you also need relevance and context. I'm in a meeting, so I don't want to take your call. You're a telemarketer, you spam, I don't want to talk to you under any circumstances. You're one of my kids, so I might want to talk to you irrespective of that I'm in a meeting. That's the relevance. The context is, I don't want to talk to you unless it's about that deadline that's moving at 5 o'clock today, and then I do want to talk to you, otherwise I don't want to talk to you. Now the present stuff, if for those who haven't got the head on, think about Madge, the old manual operator. I'm gonna call David. Madge, can you put me through to Mr. Charlesworth, please? Oh, he's away at the beach. They won't be back until Monday, but the dog's home if you'd like to talk to him. Now, the operator knew the context. She knew you were away, and she knew where you were. And he didn't want to be disturbed, but I could probably put you through to the beach. So, what we're trying to do is replicate all of that stuff that the old manual operator used to do. And it's not there yet. That's the problem. How it gets there, I have no idea. Can you imagine every time you're going to do something, I'll talk to you? But only if it's about this, I'll talk to you. Sorry about that. So then you hear, Hi, David. Thanks for calling. It's about the 5 o'clock, let the call through, otherwise knock off. I mean, that becomes rather unacceptable, so I can't even ask you what it's about. I'm not sure how this is all going to work, but the present stuff is fairly interesting. In the Converge world, collaboration and its twin unified messaging are the foundation of unified communications. So unified communications is about collaboration. And that slide that had been all listed before. So, don't think about this stuff as pretty awesome new stuff. And it is pretty wizzy. But it's not that fantastic. It's another mode, it's a multi-modal form of communication. It is user-driven. The users can choose. Unfortunately, the users aren't choosing, because the organizations expect them to be there. Everywhere, every time. You can't get away. I'd just like to show you one little clip to end this. Yeah. Thanks very much.